two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. It is KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Oh, so much stuff going on in the world of sports, and yet so little. You would think that
it's a whole lot of nothing, but it's weird
when there's nothing going on and yet bad news comes down with the Ivy League canceling fall sports. Stanford says they're going to eliminate 11 of their 36 varsity programs, and I know Dave tried to sugarcoat
it's
it
a
with
good point
it
though.
Is a good point, but I will say all of it looks bad,
right?
All of it looks like, hey, we're preparing for battening down the hatches and just weathering a storm of possibly no football this fall. I don't know. But I think everybody, Dave made a good point in our last segment where it was just like, look, everybody's going to be watching the NBA now and seeing, because initially we were like, NBA, NBA. Now we're going, are you guys still feeling comfortable about doing this? The Jazz have arrived down in Orlando, and they're in the bubble for one day. They got there yesterday. They're in the bubble for one day. Scott, and did you say they're already complaining about the food down in Orlando?
Well, of course they are. Come on.
You told me Disney World has some of the best food on the planet.
Not in the bubble.
Oh, the bubble's got some bad stuff.
If these guys can go to, you know, Victoria and Albert's or the California Grill or some of these other, I mean, if they could go to Epcot. Epcot just by itself,
they could just
go to pretty much any one of the countries in Epcot and be, they'd have a good meal.
Okay.
Have a good time at Oktoberfest.
Is it Oktoberfest like every day at the Germany?
Every night, yeah. It's buffet style, though, so you may have to get
rid
of that.
Oh, settle down. Yeah. So, okay, but...
But they're bubbled. They're quarantined.
And they're complaining about all the things that they could get there and complain about. They're complaining about the food down in Orlando.
This does not surprise me. Not at all.
Why not? Because
football and professional athletes, they eat gourmet.
The NBA guys do too.
Oh yes.
But see now, wherever they go, this is what I want to ask you:
they eat gourmet or they eat really, really?
They know where to eat here. Maybe they have the private chefs or whatever. But they also know at some point if you've gone through the rounds of taking the trips to every NBA city, and especially like in the West. For the Jazz, they know where to go in every city they go to. And they know that if they have a really good meal at this one restaurant, when they go back in a month and a half, I'm going to go back there again.
If you want to know where the good restaurants are in Utah, find out where the NBA players are
eat.
Eating.
A lot of them go to Valter's Osteria over here.
Yep. Yes, they do.
Should we head over there?
Yes,
should we get
should.
Some of that?
Let's get a line. Let's get on a line.
Well, what I'm saying is...
scooter and head over to...
What I'm saying is it's just to find out. This is a research thing.
Of course, yeah. And we
the company
would,
has
we would
to,
have to
the company has to buy it.
Look, everywhere I played, every city
you knew.
Oh yeah,
really?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Hold on, I'm going to name a city.
Okay,
I'm trying to think of like what would typically be known as not really an amazing city, because you go to like New York City, there's a lot of places. Okay, Indianapolis. No, I know Indianapolis. That's St. Elmo's, right?
Yeah, see, you
that's
got
the state. No,
it's
but
not,
that's
it's not hard for you.
That's because
that,
that place is beyond famous.
Now,
what about when you go to a place like New York and it's just a million restaurants?
Let me tell you, here's
because you had to play the Jets every year, you know.
Well, yeah, you could go anywhere in New York, and you
it was going to be good.
Yeah,
okay,
that was a no-brainer.
That's easy.
But like Buffalo, New York, where do you go in Buffalo, New York? You go to the Anchor Bar.
Oh, that's where they invented the.
That's where they invented.
Was
chicken
it good
wings.
Too?
Oh, it was amazing.
Good. Okay,
but it's the.
Let me give you another city.
It's the Anchor Bar.
Where'd you eat in Cincinnati?
Oh, there were. Cincinnati has some amazing. There's.
So they have those places with the spaghetti and the chili on top of it.
Yeah, that's not very good.
Because it's spaghetti with chili on it.
Cincinnati is the most boring city in America.
Yet.
It completely is the most. But there's some.
But they have good food.
Bill Street is really good. There's.
So you knew, but you knew in every city. So these guys were going into a situation where they could not control it.
But here's the best food. This is the best food you get. Is you would pay the locker room guy $20, $30, and say, could you make sure I have a Philly cheesesteak after the game from Philadelphia?
Right.
Or a bratwurst from Lambeau. Because
sure.
Lambeau, you stay 45 minutes out of Green Bay, and there's no restaurants in
sure.
Green Bay. No restaurants. Best food, though, some player.
Look
usually,
at you, your mouth watering.
I know. Usually
crazy.
From the South.
Yeah.
Okay, guy from the South. And he's going, we're going to play somewhere.
I played at Florida.
Whatever,
I played at Georgia.
Wherever.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's going home. Right? So his mom.
Okay.
Shows
that's
up,
where it's at then.
And when you see, like, containers, those little throwaway tin foil containers.
The takeaway containers.
Yes. And what would happen is after the game, it'd just be lined up outside the bus.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're like, I mean, more food than you can ever imagine.
Yeah.
And it's home cooked from somebody's mom.
And they had the whole family working on it.
And you're kind of tired and hungry anyways. And the best food, the best restaurant you could ever get was someone's mom.
Did food really
taste? And they loved it. They loved
to feed
the team.
Did food taste better when you won?
Yes.
And you got on the bus and you're like, this is the best barbecue I've ever had.
I was a food snob.
Yeah, I know you were. Like, still are.
When I was in Baltimore.
You're the only person I've ever known in this building who showed up with some of those Freshies lobster rolls to work. And you're like, I got these Freshies lobster rolls. And then you're like, you get done with them and you go, we're going to have to go back. Maybe tomorrow. Scott had lobster rolls at work.
And they're good, though.
And they are good.
No, we would go. It was the funnest time in the world. Tony Siragusa, we go to Morton Steakhouse the night before a game.
Yeah.
In sweats.
So that you could expand?
Well, no, because you have to wear a suit coat. I mean, Morton's is nice. It's
right,
like,
sure, it is.
And I'm like, and he goes, what are they going to do about it? They're not going to do anything to us. And we would walk in, and it was a little bit mafioso.
Tony Siragusa's got a little bit of that.
Yeah,
would you say he's a biscuit shy of 400,
yeah,
that guy?
450.
So the Jazz. But here's the part that I'm fascinated by.
These NBA players are used to being pampered.
So this is not a road trip.
This
feels weird. They might not even have thought to themselves that this is going to be something that they'd have to actually work through. Not having your routines is a big deal. This is going to be – if the Jazz complain about the food, it shows me where they're at mentally, Scott.
Somebody's going to do something about the food if it's not good.
They better figure it out.
I'm just telling you, somebody's going to start.
I don't want them worrying about
ordering
it.
In food. It's going to be flown in every single
day.
No, they're going to do. I'm telling you, they're going to.
They drop it through the roof of the bubble.
A lot of guys like Michael Jordan, he used to love like McDonald's.
I'm
a McDonald's guy.
The alleged offending pizza up in Park City was not like some gourmet something. It was Pizza Hut.
Right.
He was just like, give me extra pepperoni, thin crust, and hold the spit. Hold the saliva.
Pizza Hut's not that bad.
Oh, no, no, no.
Are
you kidding? I don't kick any of that stuff out of the old house. So I'm just – I see these guys going there. They have their routines, all this. And if you think the Jazz are complaining about the food, LeBron and his crew, when they show up, they're going to be so snotty, Scott. They are going to be so snotty about this. And they have to have things a very particular way. And if it's not inside the bubble, That's going to throw them off their game. That's an advantage to the Utah Jazz to be NBA champions
somebody's
in 2020.
Somebody's going to win the championship based off of food selection.
If you got a good personal chef rolling in, you're going to be okay. We'll come back. We're going to wrap things up with the two-minute drill next right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.